Just a quick word from our affiliates before we jump into the episode. SafePoint Loan Working App is a really simple way for you to manage loan working. Utilizing WAP-free words to get you pinpoint accuracy on the location of your people when you really need it. Get yourself a discount using the link and code in the description of this episode. Let's jump into today's podcast. What's up, people? Today we are going to be talking about diversity in safety and particularly PPE from an article in the same IOSH magazine that I spoke about last time. It turns out there's quite a few interests. Was this the same one? No, I think this is a different one. This is IOSH's July edition. Let's get into the podcast.
Health and safety is almost a victim of its own success.
Weird and oppressive regime of health and safety regulations.
A huge fire engulfs a tower block in London.
Children being forced to wear goggles to play conkers at school.
Worst oil field disaster, 164 dead.
Rebranding Safety, the modern health and safety podcast, crushing the stereotype. And your host, James McPherson. Okay then, welcome back to Rebranding Safety. If you're new here, Rebranding Safety is a health and safety podcast, making health and safety simple to help you save lives and save money. And hopefully sometimes it's quite funny as well. The whole ethos is that we rebrand health and safety. Today we're going to be talking all about diversity and health and safety based on an article from the IOSH magazine. Rebranding Safety is also on YouTube. You go and check us out. We produce every Tuesday shorter YouTube style toolbox talk videos from anything from doing a risk assessment to managing manual handling to work at height, etc., etc. In the podcast comes out every Monday, more in-depth episodes, anything from 20 minutes of just me to 30 minutes of just me to 40 minutes of just me, or all the way up to an hour of an interview of a special guest. We've had some amazing people on like Rachel Butler and Jason Anker. We've had local businesses that are making some massive difference, like Christian working with Slip Safety Services and David McLean making positive change in people's lives. So go back and check our back catalogue. We are massively getting bigger. I don't know. There's loads of podcasts on there that you can go look for. Anyway, let's talk about this episode, this magazine. Here we go. Wow, that was painful. Let's crack on. So this is an article written by Kate Field. I don't know if you know, but in the last podcast we mentioned, not the last podcast, second to last podcast, we mentioned Kate. She was part of that panel that we're talking about, the ISO 45001. I don't know if you remember. Anyway, she's written a piece of paper, a piece in the IOSH magazine, which essentially is all about diversity. So I think overall this article was very well written, and I really, really enjoyed reading it, and I thought it'd be good for you guys to know all about it. So let's go. First statement. At the start of the Industrial Revolution, social thinker John Ruskin captured some of the concerns about work, in quotations. At the start of the Industrial Revolution, social thinker John Ruskin captured some of the concerns about work, in quotations. For people to be happy at work, he said, they must fit for it. They must not do too much of it. They must have a sense of success in it. Fast forward 170 years, what has changed? It's tempting to say, not much. Yes, we have laws and regulations on safety and health, but these are generally slow to evolve and adopt a philosophy of utilitarianism. A philosophy of utilitarianism, legislation that fits the greatest number, not the individual. We also have a lack of diversity in the bodies that make, develop and frame this legislation. Standards development has the same challenges. Indeed, the term standard implies an average or norm, one size fits all approach. But does it really? in the provision of personal protective equipment or PPE, this issue becomes particularly acute. It's not simply about gender. Take, for instance, chest protectors for cricketers. Not only is there no provision for women, but they are also designed for right-handed batsmen only. It's a long statement. I don't normally have statements that long in these brand new magazine, article, podcast things I've been doing. But I just thought, I was reading through it and I thought, oh, can I break this down into more bite-sized chunks of what Kate's saying? And I just thought, do you know what? It's a beautiful way of saying something that, one, I am massively on board with and I've been saying for a long time. And two, she's just right on the bat. Like, it's 100% right. And I just thought the cricketer PPE kind of analogy she uses or observation that she uses is a real great way to show, hang on a minute, you've not even got ones that fit left-handed batsmen. It just doesn't make sense. Like, I'm not saying it would be okay to have not have one for women, but it's like, we know how crap we are at that stuff. But the fact that 100 years ago some group of men didn't go, hang on, some of us are left-handed and they have that, it's like, that really puts into perspective how behind we are. If left-handed people are not even friggin' accounted for, then how the hell could we expect to account for women and people from different cultures, people with different ethnicities, people with different religions? I haven't got any words, which was shit for a podcast because it's all about words. It was just unbelievable when I read it, and I really thought that kind of put it into context. And the kind of things she mentions about standards being the one size fits all, it's just, for me, this was just like music to my ears, you know, preaching to the converted kind of thing. For to read this, it was just beautiful to see that, you know, somebody had picked this up, and as we go through the article, you can see that there are a lot bigger organisations that are picking it up. And I'm running with it. I'm making some positive change and some real nice differences in the world. It's a real shame that we're not there yet, though, isn't it? Let's just get the elephant in the room addressed. You know, it's 2019. How have we not got equality in PPE? It's just crazy. I read an article not so long ago about, you know, PPE not fitting well for women, like high-vis jackets and stuff like that, just not made to fit women. It's just like, it's such a good point. You know, you know, all their clothes are different. Why would their PPE not be different? It's just crazy. It's just unbelievable. And it's so disappointing. But anyway, let's move on. So, interestingly, the European Committee, loads of letters, CEN/TC162/WG11, Body for Protection for Sports, includes input from both men and women and has a female chair. So that was interesting. Nice step. They've now requiring input from men and women. And they've got a female chair. So, you know, they're the body that oversees or manages protection for sport, basically. So I thought that was very good. Nice to hear. A good step change in the way to go. Let's move on. Next statement. Data used shows a big difference in facial characteristics between Caucasian, Sub-Saharan and European types. So we're talking like RPE, for example, where even people's ethnicities and cultures and where they're from means they've got a different face shape. I don't know if you remember, it reminded me, on a more real layman, simple, stupid terms, what it said about, there was this app thing, and it was like, different body types for different countries, and how much the women of those countries preferred what body types, which is interesting. So it was like, you know, white English was this body type, and other kind of minorities, ethnic minorities, had this type of body type, for example, and women preferred this and men preferred this, blah blah blah. And it was quite a funny but yet interesting at the same time article of how different we are just from being born and raised in England or Germany or Africa or somewhere like that, which I thought was fascinating. But then, you know, you're making PPE to fit people, then you have to consider all these different types. But then let's look at it from a business point of view, that, wow, that must be really difficult to actually do. you know, we're talking about, you know, just in these three examples that Kate gives, Caucasian, Sub-Saharan and European types, different facial shapes. So I know we have face fits for some RPE, but what about those kind of dust masks and things like that, that those one size fit all? Then surely they're not one size fit all. So I thought that was very, very interesting. Part of the output of ISO 16900 part 1 2014, determination of leakage. I don't know why I've highlighted that. We'll cut that bit. Moving on. Oh, there we go. I found it. Part of the output of the ISO 16900, the determination of inward leakage, is defining the way the respiratory standards are changing. The ISO standard specifies an increase in the number of test subjects from 10, which is the normal standard, to 25, to additionally try and represent the human diversity, which I thought was interesting. You know, they're trying to increase the amount of people in there to try and get more different types of diversity in there, which obviously, in my opinion, with diversity of people comes diversity of ideas and diversity of risk, but also diversity of solutions as well. I've always liked to think of people as the solution, not the problem. So I thought that was good to hear as well. Let's move on. Another ISO standard aiming to put people at the heart is ISO 45001, and we've done a podcast on that where Kate was part of the article that we read about as well. Occupational Health and Safety Management System has an emphasis on creating a system that benefits the worker as opposed to the organisation solely, which in my opinion the previous standards did. So again, if you've listened to the ISO 45001 podcast, I can't really comment because I haven't worked with it. But I am hearing a lot of things that I'm really, really pleased and interested to hear more about. This kind of person-centered focus that I'm really liking the sound of. So that's interesting. Diversity is a factor that health and safety professionals will have to take into greater account of... increase in perception of women in the workforce, aging population with its own associated health needs, obviously, plus wider ethnic diversity, plus challenges and opportunities that must be addressed in the long term. Human diversity should be seen in the same way as biodiversity in nature, as a positive source of exchange, innovation and creativity. We know that the luscious and most productive regions of the world are the ones with the greatest biodiversity. Isn't that just beautiful? Isn't that just absolutely downright beautiful, gorgeous way to think, to live, to explain things in a world where we are becoming so separated and so focused on what makes us different? Why can't we just accept that this is the amount of difference in an area that would just make us so, as said in here, luscious and productive and innovative and creative? With diversity of people comes diversity of ideas. It's so beautiful, the way of putting that. I think, Kate, if you listen to this podcast, I commend you for that statement. It was, whether you stole it from somewhere else or you wrote it yourself, it was a beautiful way of putting it. And when I read it, I was like, wow. That's something, in the time that we are currently living in the UK, that's something I would just love to hear. I'd have the pleasure to read out to everyone else. So, yeah, I thought that was beautiful. Human diversity should be seen in the same way as biodiversity in nature, as a positive source of exchange, innovation and creativity. We know that the luscious and most productive regions of the world are the ones with the greatest biodiversity. Wow. Your organisation should be the same. Your business, everything you do should be the same. Everything works for everyone and everyone works for everyone else. You know, it's a beautiful, beautiful idea. And if we just kind of get past these focuses, and to be honest, how can you do health and safety correctly if you have that kind of secular mindset where you don't appreciate everyone as equal or treat everyone as equal, then health and safety has failed before it's even started in your business. So it's probably something you need to address. So let's move on. here's where it gets interesting. However, we need to understand the ecology of system to ensure that we do not cause an imbalance. To ensure we do not cause an imbalance. It needs to consider differences in risk perception, attitudes to authority, time orientation, direction communication, personal space, non-verbal communication, gender, and even political history. I thought this was interesting because diversity by its own kind of nature brings difference of opinions, difference of way communicating, difference of way of doing things. I remember when I used to work for a company that had an African base, the head of safety or whatever, I can't remember what their title was, they basically went out there, and as much as I hate PPE, not I don't hate PPE, that's a bad way to say it, as much as I hate our over-reliance on PPE and using a positive story for PPE, this is one. So they went out there to Africa and we had a factory, a warehouse with all of our staff, no steel toe cuts, forklift whizzing around, no segregation or anything like that. And they thought, well, there's something we can change tomorrow, we can get them on steel toe cut shoes. Okay, let's do that. Easy peasy. That's something we've done. We've done the hierarchy of control the wrong way around and started with PPE, but let's not dwell on that. We did that. So, got them all there. The next day, they got delivered, or whenever they got delivered. The next day, after they'd been delivered, nobody came into work with their steel toe caps. Why? Because when she went to the manager and said, why is no one wearing a steel toe cap? She said, because they're the nicest shoes we have. So we kept them at home for when we go home for dinner. And I was like, no. Like, that's just crazy. And that story will always stick with me forever. That, you know, we need to not be so naive sometimes and just consider the differences of other cultures and stuff like that. And I just thought that was so... It was just for me, as a young health and safety professional, it kind of was just... One, it brought home to me how much I've got and how much I need to learn to appreciate that. But also, it's something to consider for us that, okay, should we buy them another pair so that they can have a pair at work and a pair at home? I thought that would be a really nice way to do it. Let them have the ones at home. Just let them have them. You know, if that means that much and it's something they haven't had, then just let them have it. It would be a beautiful thing to do. I don't think that's what they did. But yeah, I did think that was interesting. Difference of risk perception is interesting. The same factory quite commonly would climb up racking and just throw the items out of the racking quite every day. That was just common practice. Different ways of carrying things. You know, you look at like the Asian countries where they're carrying the stuff on their heads. Who's to say that's the right or wrong way to do it? I don't think we can argue that. I don't think I can argue that. I think there's a point to say that maybe that's a better way to lift. But that aside, if that happened over here, it'd be difficult in the UK for a health and safety person to accept that that's okay because they've not been trained to see that or deal with that. So that's a thing to consider. I'm not going to say, you know, you're going to have people like, you know, carrying stuff on their head in the factory tomorrow. But I do think it's a very good point Kate's touched on, that with diversity, quite obviously brings diversity, and those things can also present challenges and different mannerisms. I remember working in a factory when I was young, not in health and safety role, in like a machine operator role before I got into health and safety, and I was one of few English people there, and personally was quite lonely. Not that everyone was horrible, not that anyone didn't want to involve with me. I was one of few that only spoke English. That's my own fault, no one else's fault. My own kind of lazy fault that I never learned anything else. But I couldn't communicate as easy as everyone else could, so naturally I became this little entity in my own group for my own faults and everything else. But it was quite lonely, and that's a challenge for a business to deal with, I think, because granted I was only a temporary worker, so they probably didn't really give a shit about me. Well, I know they didn't give a shit about me because I was made redundant a few weeks later, which FYI was like the best thing that ever happened to me. However, I think it's on a business to be able to sort things like that and just make sure that everybody is, you know, not lonely and everyone can communicate with each other. Except, don't get me wrong, we could communicate to do our job, but Yeah, I do think you need to consider those things, and I just think that's a really interesting point that Kate makes. So, let's crack on. Organisational socialisation of the process of conveying the organisation's goals, norms, and preferred ways of interacting with workers, or more simply, identification with the organisation is essential to managing diversity successfully. This does not mean pressuring workers to conform to a single norm, but rather that diversity is the norm. But how do organisations do this? It starts with leadership, and in particular transformational leadership. What's transformational leadership? It's a person that leads for change. So, you know, they transform, they're leading a transformation. So if you think like Nelson Mandela leading to change apartheid, to stop apartheid, like that. Yeah, that's a transformational leader, probably one of the most iconic transformational leaders. But isn't it interesting that leadership is something that comes up in nearly every video I do, every podcast I do? It's all about you in your business. You need to be a leader. You need to learn to have empathy. You need to learn to communicate. You need to learn to love your staff. You need to look after your staff, look after your customers. You need to learn to be mindful of those people, mindful of the decisions, the impacts that these things have on you, and start being a bit more self-aware of what you are doing and how that affects everyone else. And I thought that was a really interesting point, and again, it's written so beautifully. It's written really, really nicely. So it starts with transformational leadership, or starts with leadership. You know, transformational leadership is just one type of leader. There's so many different types. I think the top three are like top four. There's top four types. There's like transformational, servant, I can't remember the other two. So that was interesting. Emotional intelligence is a skill that they've highlighted in here. Empathy, reducing conflict, inclusion, involving and empowering workers. I bang on about this all the time. Empowering and involving your team is probably one of the biggest and most effective things you can do in your business to change your culture. Transformational leadership, emotional intelligence, and worker inclusion, these are at the heart of good occupational health and safety. These are things that we haven't spoke about for a long time. You know, these are things that people don't hear. You know, this is what they need to hear, that risk assessments, standard operating procedures, and health and safety policies are not the heart of occupational health and safety. Empathy, emotional intelligence, worker inclusion, involvement, that's the heart. Leadership is the heart of good health and safety. So I would like to commend Kate Field for her very amazingly written article. I thought it was very nice. There were some beautifully written phrases and statements in there, which, to be honest, could be taken away and put in quotes on a wall in your office or whatever, and you would think that somebody, you know, Gandhi had said it or something like that. So well done, Kate. It was a very, very nice article. I thoroughly enjoyed reading it. I've enjoyed butchering all of those statements to my audience. So those of you that have found it slightly interesting but thought I would like to read Kate's article and not listen to James butchering it, excuse my laptop making notification noises, I thought that was turned off, then I will link the article in the description. So thanks for listening. If you listen watching on YouTube, don't forget to click subscribe and the bell so you never miss another episode. If you're on iTunes, don't forget to leave us a rate and review. And come on, people, share the podcast, share the love. You know you've got friends out there with businesses. They run their own businesses and they haven't got a clue how to manage health and safety. Let me help them. Also, come on, for a health and safety podcast, pretty good, right? Isn't it? Don't forget to engage with me at Rebranded Safety on Twitter. Come find me on LinkedIn, James McPherson. All the socials linked in the description. Catch you in the next podcast next Monday. Safe. We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a shameless sponsorship clip. In all seriousness, guys, we partnered up with DRM Group. You know, David McLean's been on the podcast time and time again. We absolutely support his message, and he's got a brand new online course to help you. I'm going to let him tell you all about it now.
The brain can be trained to think and behave differently, to think in more positive and optimistic ways. And there are steps that you can take to train your brain to feel good for good. and we call this lasting positive change. Through our 16-day program, which includes daily videos and action sheets, taking you no longer than 15 minutes to complete a day, you will learn how to move away from thoughts of anger, hopelessness and frustration to a place of mental well-being and positivity.
Okay guys, so if you're interested, you can click the link below and get a discount, special rebranding safety discount. Full disclosure, we get a little bit kickback from that. So at the same time as improving your mental health, you can support your favourite health and safety podcast and YouTube channel. I'll let you get back into the content.